Hello, friends. Welcome to church today. Actually, welcome to my studio. If we haven't met yet, my name is Chris, and my wife Angela and I are the lead pastors here at Beloved City Church, and we're just so thrilled to have you with us in the room in this moment. Today, we're starting a brand new five-part message series called Hashtag Real Talk. It's a series that will help us keep it real as we continue to lean in to learn what it means to keep Jesus at the center of our lives in a selfie-centered world. I think most of you probably know what a hashtag is, and I'm quite sure that some of you probably won't. But if you remember, if you're over than 35, it's those little that little symbol that looks like this on your old phone, you know what I mean? Or still actually on your phone. It's called, some would call it a pound, but it's called a hashtag. So that's what we might use on our phone or our computer still. So if you're on social platforms and you type hashtag beloved life in your search bar, you're probably going to find pictures that might be related to Beloved City Church. If you type in hashtag pastors cool kicks, you might find pastors with some really cool shoes. And that's awesome. I love cool shoes too. So a hashtag is simply a connection tool connecting you with what other people are saying in a similar venue on social media. Now, I know some of you are not really engaged on social media platforms, and others of you could probably get a whole lot less involved in social media, right? Like 25 posts a day. You've got this, right? Crazy influencer. But what I want to do over the course of this message series is I want to keep it real as I talk to you about five things that are interfering in your life. Things that are in contrast to biblical values. And so often I'm finding that those five things that we're going to look at are a result of our social media influenced life. Now, I'm going to use social media as a starting point. And if you're like, oh, great, Pastor Chris, I'm not even on social media. I don't know what you're talking about. How is this going to relate to me? I still believe that the issues that we're going to confront will still speak to you, okay? And you know what? I'll be real with you. I appreciate the value of social media. I live at a distance from my family and who are spread across North America and my wife's family too. And I can see pictures and reels and videos of my family living the highlight reel dream, right? Because that's what we get to see. We're seeing the highlight reel of their lives. We're not seeing their dull, boring lives every day. No, we're seeing the highlight reel. And and I'm on several differing platforms myself. And those of you who use it also know that there are so many incredible benefits of social media. Like I even get a friend or follow request from someone from Africa or India and they want to send me money, but I've got to pay it to them first so then they can pay it back to me. Oh, just kidding. Some of those are scams, but they're too, right? There's risks too, is what I'm saying. But like you can connect with people from all over the world and stay connected in some way. The world feels a whole lot smaller since social media was introduced. I can even sell something on Marketplace, promote things that are important to me, like there's so many benefits. And at the same time, with all of the great opportunities that technology provides, there are also some unintended downsides, unintended negative consequences of social media and different forms of technology. So what I want to do is I want to keep it really real. I want to keep it real with you and raise a few of those issues with you. Contrast these real issues with some biblical values. And friends, I truly believe that this is going to be a powerful message series that will speak to the hearts of so many people today. So in keeping it real, the first real talk that we're going to talk about today is contentment. We're going to talk about contentment, friends. And we're going to talk about the issue of when we compare with others, we become dissatisfied and discontented in our own hearts. Like this is a serious issue that keeps us in a selfie-centered posture rather than our hearts being centered on Jesus. Now, next week, we're going to have a real talk on intimacy. We love that we can post something and get immediate feedback, and therefore we feel close to people. Yet the data is showing us something so different, social media and our need for immediate gratification, which is affirmation, sympathy, attention, gives us the illusion of companionship without the real demands of a friendship. So we can be really comfortable talking to people online, but many of us are experiencing the longing for something face to face. And so that's next week's real talk. And then week three, we're going to talk about authenticity. Like for the first time in history, we can filter everything we show people, right? We can edit our selfie before posting. We can edit our voice and what we're going to say and what's in the background even. I can even add people to my picture who aren't even there with me. Yet the more filtered our lives are, the more difficult it's going to be for us to be authentic. Week four, real talk four, we're going to talk about compassion. Research shows that over the past 20 years, we actually have become less caring about other people. And the studies argue that technology overwhelms us with so much information from around the world that we feel we just simply cannot care to the degree that we were designed to care. And yet God calls us to be filled with compassion. So how can we learn to recenter our lives around Jesus so that we may care for one another in a selfie-centered world? And then in week 5, we're going to have a real talk on rest. I mean, honestly, so many of us are tethered to our phones and our technology. It's kind of ridiculous, right? Like 80% of Gen Y and Gen Z sleep with their phones. Like we check our phones when we get up to go pee in the middle of the night, right? I'm pretty sure Jesus can set us free from this, but let's talk about it. So that's week 5 of Real Talk on Rest. So diving in today for our first real talk, we're talking about discontentment and envy. The enemies of contentment, of course, right? And how we can become content in Christ Jesus. Some people believe that discontentment has never been a bigger problem in the history of the world than it is today. Think about it. Never before have so many people had so much and yet want still so much more, right? Even we struggle with this sometimes. You have so much, but we still want so much more. And some sociologists are being bold enough to actually warn us that social media is one of the biggest driving causes of discontentment, anxiety, and depression. Because what happens is when we look at other people's lives on social media, they look perfect because they're putting their best image forward, right? They look perfect. Their filtered image. And for, you know, here we are literally comparing our behind the scenes with other people's highlight reels. And you end up feeling like a loser sometimes because we see the best of their best and we know the worst of our worst. Right? For example, maybe moms be talking about how they have secretly despised each other on social media. One working mom who gets up early, literally fights to get the kids out the door for school. Little Johnny has his sister's backpack on, his shoes on different feet, his shirt inside out, you know, on inside out. And mom was up early maybe and she was, you know, she's a little bit checked out because she's already been on her phone and saw so-and-so's highlight reel, like so perfect. The Pinterest stay-at-home mom who does crafts and structured playtime with her kids, and there's a selfie there doing some wonderful stay-at-home stuff. And now mom feels so guilty going to work and slapping a P&J sandwich in Johnny's lunch bin, right? And then on the flip side, the stay-at-home mom be saying, gosh, I hated you and watching your highlight reel because you have a life and you're out in public and you're doing things and you get to go through the Starbucks drive-thru and I haven't had my hair in anything but a ponytail for a year, nor have I seen another adult since 2019, right? Here we have two people comparing a longing for what the other person has. Does this sound familiar yet? Maybe you felt like this. You're at home all by yourself and you see your friend out on a date eating steak at a fine dining restaurant, and there you are eating Chester's chicken ordered off of Skip, and you don't even like Chester, right? Or you see a friend at the gym and he's doing some selfies showing off his muscles, and you're like single-handedly trying to keep Frito-Lay out of bankruptcy by yourself, and you're like, I feel so bad about myself. And like never before in the history of the world could we ever do so ever so accurately measure our popularity, right? When I was a kid, I just had to kind of randomly guess that we weren't popular or I was cool or something. Like you might compare how many kids came to your birthday party than how many went to little Johnny's birthday party. Yeah, I'm not so popular. I only had 3 kids come to my birthday party. And Johnny had 23 kids over at his house. And you had to wait a whole other year to score your popularity. But now you can measure it all year long, all day long, at a moment's notice. Any time of the day, you can be measuring your popularity. Like, I've only got 287 followers and she's got 492. I'm half as popular as she is. Or maybe my post only got 19 likes and the one before that only had 12. And my record is actually 33. And every time she posts, she gets like 3 digits of likes. It's just not fair. And so you delete your posts. It's just simpler. We compare and we analyze and summarize everybody else's life. So much better. My life simply sucks. But here's the real talk. I got the quote for you. The more you compare yourself with others, the less satisfied you will be. Let me repeat that. The more you compare yourself with others, the less satisfied you will be. In fact, researchers did a study at 2 college universities and they had students spend half an hour on Facebook, 30 minutes on Facebook, and then surveyed their feelings after half an hour of just looking on Facebook. And what they found is this: 1/3 of the students felt significantly depressed, citing envy as the number one emotion of what they felt. After 30 minutes of just watching what happens on Facebook, friends, this is a real issue. We're having a real talk today. And what I want to do today is be very honest and to help expose the discontentment that we have in our hearts if we were to have some real talk in this room this morning or today, however you're watching this, whenever. I'd be so bold to say that everyone online in this moment, in this room, has had some form of discontentment in their hearts. So what are we going to do about it? Well, we're going to keep it real first and put Jesus back at the center. That's what we want to learn in this series. Here's what I'm going to do to help us with this. I'm going to give you three different categories of discontentment. And then I want you to be really, really honest about any one of these areas that you might be struggling. I want you to write it down. I want you to be honest with yourself. And I want you to pray about it with me at the end of this talk today as well. All right? Because you'll probably see yourself in at least one of these three areas. Mm-hmm. And we'll broaden it beyond social media, obviously, but for those who maybe don't use it, there's, again, this series is going to speak to you. Our first category is about material and financial discontentment. Maybe you see him or her post a picture of his or her new truck and you hate your dumb car, right? And you want to be happy for him and his new stupid truck, but you're so jealous because you want a new car. Or maybe she posts a picture of homemade brownies, but you're not really looking at her brownies. You actually zoomed in on the picture to see what she was wearing. Like, you're looking beyond her brownies at her kitchen and her nice granite countertops, right? And her beautiful big wooden cabinets, all that she has in her perfect little kitchen, brownies. And you're like, I wish I had granite counters at my house. It could be that your friend's on holidays again for the second time this year, or the 22nd time maybe, and you can't even go to the lake. Like, you can't even afford to go to the lake. Or she has more shoes than Softmock itself, and you're like, oh, I've only got 3 pairs and she's got all of those. And it makes you materially or financially at some level discontented. So would you be really honest about this and say, if this is me, write it down, be honest right now. And don't be lying to yourself. Hey, I know it's really easy sometimes to lie to yourself, but yes, this can be true of me. I'm putting my hands up right now. Uh-huh. What about relational discontentment? Relational discontentment. See, you see all your friends and they're together and you're not, right? And you were not invited. And you're like, why was I left out again? Why am I never invited to these events? Maybe you're not married and every person you know is married and they're happy and you're not. I wish I had that somebody special in my life. You see someone else that they have time with their children and you're working your tail off just trying to make ends meet for your children, and you feel guilty that you can't spend time with your children like you would like. Maybe you see the relational intimacy that other people have and you don't have all that you really want. They look like they've got a great marriage. You don't feel like you've got a great marriage maybe. And all of a sudden you find yourself in one form or another a little bit envious of someone else's relational status. And if that's you, let's keep it really honest. Write that down and let's ask Holy Spirit, help me. Help me walk through this. How about this one? One might call circumstantial discontentment. You're looking at your life, comparing it to someone else's, and you're thinking, I wish I was where they are by this point in my life. I thought I'd be doing something so much more significant by now. I wish I could have a baby maybe. And there's the 14th reveal party that you're going to again this week, and they're revealing the sex of their baby, and you can't have a baby. I can't have a baby. I wish I had more significance in life. Or whatever it might be for you, circumstantial discontentment. Life is like 10% of what actually happens to you and 90% of how you respond, by the way. The reality for most of us is it's the opposite, the flip side of that. Most of us live as if life is 90% of what happens to us, and we really don't have much power left in us to respond more appropriately. We'd be depressed and anxious because that's all we can think about, right? Like, as a man thinks in his heart, so is he, the proverb says in Proverbs 23:7. Now, the Apostle Paul was the master of real talk, teaching us how to respond with a Christ-like perspective. In fact, we're going to look at one of the best verses in all of Scripture on contentment. And he, Paul, is writing this. And you need to understand that he's writing this while under house arrest, in prison, chained to a Roman guard 24 hours a day. He can't go pee by himself, right? So let's just put it this way. He's not on the beach drinking a little drink with an umbrella in it, sending you memes all day, posting his life's greatest revelations on Insta Reels, right? Like, life is not great for him when he writes this. And yet, here's what he says, Philippians 4:11-13. Paul says, I have learned how to be content with whatsoever I have. I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. Then he says this, I've learned the secret of being content in every situation, in any and every situation. In other words, if life is going the way I want it to, or if life is not going the way I want it to, I know the secret of being content, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. You want to know the secret? Here's the secret of being content in every situation, like Paul says. He says this in verse 13. I can do all this through who? Say it with me. I can do all this through Christ who does what? Through Christ who gives me strength. I can do anything and everything through Christ who gives me strength. Friends, the secret of contentment is not found in a new wife, a new job, or your new treatment plan, or your 23rd therapist, or how much affirmation I get, nor what I have or do not have. Friends, the secret of contentment is found in Christ and Christ alone. We just keep adding crap into our life thinking it can outdo and outperform God. Friends, listen to me. Until Christ is all you have, write this down. Until Christ is all you have, you'll never recognize that Christ is all you need. Until Christ is all you have, you'll never recognize that Christ is all you need. You want to find the power of contentment? You got to let everything else be stripped away, and then you cling to the Savior. You cling to Jesus, and you recognize that His presence is real. Listen, if you are not experiencing peace in your day-to-day life, this is key. Until Christ is all you have, friends, you'll never recognize that Christ is all that you need. So you can recognize that He offers you peace that goes beyond our human ability to comprehend, that He's your rock and that He's your sustainer, that He's your provider and protector. He's your banner of victory. He's your redeemer. He is your assurance. Jesus is everything that we need, friends. You can search and search and search. You can scroll and scroll and scroll and get all the likes and social media attention you want. Get all the approval and affirmation from the people that you want. All the material things that you want and desire. And know and love as many people as you can find. But until you experience the goodness of Christ, you'll always be dissatisfied. Many of you already know that this and have been ignoring this simple truth, right? And some of you in the room maybe are hearing this for the first time. Listen, I know I'm helping someone here online here in this moment. When Jesus is not at the center of your life, all of your thoughts, desires, ambitions, and loves, you will always be longing for something more. Why? Because within you is a Christ-shaped void. It's a big Jesus-shaped hole. You were born for eternity. You were designed and made for relationship with Christ and His body. And there's a longing for something more than this world has to offer inside of you. Here, until you let Christ be all that you need, you'll always battle with the enemy of discontentment, right? Every envy will rule in your heart, my friend. I'll tell you the secret of being content, Paul says. Hey, I can have a lot. I can be in a Roman prison, but by Christ, I can do everything He calls me to do. That's the secret of being content. So what I want to do today is I want to talk about two more things that we absolutely and completely need Christ's strength to do. Two things that will help us to overcome the sin of envy. The first one, you're writing this down, I hope you're taking some notes. Through Christ's strength, we will, number one, kill comparisons. Through Christ's strength, we will kill comparison. Through the strength of Christ, we will stop comparing, we'll crush it. Paul said this in 2 Corinthians 10 and 12. He said, we do not dare, meaning we're not even going to get close to this, to classify or compare ourselves with some who commend themselves when they measure themselves by themselves and compare themselves with themselves. They are not wise, he says. There's no winning in comparison, so we will kill comparison. It's simply just not wise. We won't do it. In fact, you'll be tempted to do it. Trust me, right? You will be, and so will I, but we're just not going to go there. Why? Here, James says this in James 3 and 14 to 16 says this. I want you to see how dangerous this is. This is, if you harbor bitter envy, James is saying, okay, listen to me. Those of you who are envious, watch what this does. If you harbor bitter envy and selfish ambition in your hearts, do not boast about it or deny the truth, right? James seems to be being a little bit sarcastic here. He says, such wisdom, in quotes, such wisdom does not come from heaven. But what is it? Let's say it aloud. What is it? It is earthly. It is what? It's unspiritual. And it is demonic. Envy is demonic, my friends. It is unspiritual. And it's not from heaven. It's earthly and demonic. He goes on, for where you have envy and selfish ambition, there you'll find disorder and every evil practice. So what do? We kill comparisons because it's demonic. I mean, this is one of the top 10 commandments we even learn from the Torah, right? Thou shalt not covet. Friends, it's not just unhealthy for you. It's sinful in the eyes of God. So what do? Therefore, we crush comparison. We kill comparison in our lives. Now, how will this practically play out in your life? Let's look. Some of you may need to take a social media break, right? It's been feeding your envy. Maybe take 6 weeks and get off it. I don't want to be addicted to this thing, right? This phone or whatever it might be. You might even need to snooze or to hide the feed of certain people that trigger the sin of envy in your life. Snooze them for 30 days. It's okay. Practical. Well, what about beyond social media? For those of you who are still, You might even need to stop ordering certain catalogs that come to your home. If you're over 35, cancel the subscriptions when you're always wanting something more. Or maybe delete the shopping apps on your phone or stop watching certain TV shows because all you can do is sin whenever you're watching Cribs and you be looking at your pathetic little shack and you're crying tears, hot tears of bitterness, right? Oh man, or maybe you don't go to, the boat show or the car show or the hunting show or whatever the show. We're gonna kill comparisons. Why? Because the envy that you experience is demonic. Every evil practice comes from within. This lust and longing for something more is destroying your contentment. And not only are we going to kill comparisons, we're going to crush comparisons in this way, but I also find that celebrating the successes of others really purifies my heart. And when someone else is blessed in a way that I want to be blessed, whenever I learn to celebrate with them, it purifies the intentions of my heart. Someone else gets the job you wanted, and you're like, you know what? God must have a reason to bless them. And with everything in me, you got to thank God for your blessings in their life and that new job. Someone else gets the thing that you've always wanted. God, I thank you so much that your hand of blessing is on my friend. God, continue to bless him. It purifies your motives, friends. Maybe I wish I was going on a vacation, and my friend is sitting on a beach in Thailand. Thank you, God, that they're having a good time. And this is a big blessing to them. This is what I have found. When I can't celebrate for others, I believe that I'm actually limiting what God wants to do in my life. Listen, friends, when I can't celebrate for others, I'm actually limiting what God wants to do in my own life. God doesn't partner up with sin. He doesn't bless what doesn't belong to him, and sin is definitely not belonging to him. If my heart is plugged up with envy and jealousy and pride, I can't live in the overflow of God's blessings of fulfillment and peace and joy. Listen, when our hearts are all about building our own kingdom and our stuff and all the desires that we want sits on the throne of our hearts instead of God, instead of Christ himself, and we're building our own kingdom instead of God's kingdom, hoarding everything for myself, then looking over the fence, wanting more, and God cannot be a part of blessing the fruit of your labor. Because it's a dangerous place to be, right? God doesn't partner up with envy. So what do we do when we find ourselves in this position, Pastor Chris, you might say? Well, we can deeply repent, friends. We can simply say, God, I want your desires for my life. I want what you want for my ears and for my eyes and for my mind and for my body. I want to be a blessing to others, Jesus. I want my desires for my life to be a blessing to others. I want to advance your kingdom, not mine. You will find that when your life becomes more about Jesus and his kingdom, you'll begin to experience life to the full, life abundant, scripture says. You'll experience blessing and growth once again, friends. Maybe for you, it's learning to celebrate others. Perhaps God is not able to bless you with something you want because you were unable to celebrate God's blessings in someone else's life. And it could be that your heart just isn't right. And it's an opportunity for us to get our hearts right. So what do? We kill comparisons and we celebrate God's blessings in other people's lives. The second thing we're going to do, if you're taking notes, and I hope you are, first, we're going to kill comparisons. And then second, we're going to cultivate gratitude in our lives. We're going to cultivate gratitude. In fact, you might be able to define envy this way. Envy is resenting God's goodness in other people's lives and ignoring God's goodness in your own life. This is envy. Envy is resenting God's goodness in other people's lives and ignoring God's in your own life. That's really powerful. Envy is resenting God's goodness. Oh, so in response, what do? We cultivate gratitude. Proverbs 15 and 15. This is such a powerful verse to me. For it says, it's for the despondent, every day brings trouble. For the despondent, every day brings trouble. Maybe for some of you, you might know people like this. Others, you might be the person like this. Oh, it's a bad day. Oh, it's always raining here. Oh, nothing ever goes my way. Oh, the economy's never in my favor. Oh, I'm so upset. I'm so stupid. Oh, the kids are always brats today. Oh, my car is such a junker. For the despondent, every single day brings trouble, but for the happy heart, life is a continual feast. For the happy heart, who might have the same day as the despondent person, by the way, the happy heart, the content heart, the contented heart sees the blessings of it. The happy heart is always ready to see God's goodness. You see, if you want to look for bad in the world, you're going to find it in the world, right? Everywhere. Oh, it's all around us. You see, if you want to look for bad, you want to see that your boss has issues, yeah, you're going to find them, right? Your wife, your kids, housing market, But if you want to look to see where God is working, let me tell you, you can also find it as well. If you will look for the blessings of God, you will see it. For the happy heart, it's a continual feast. It's all about perspective, friends. What lenses are you looking through? Is life good? Or is everything going to hell in a handbasket, right? Are you blessed or are you still barely scraping by with this stupid job? Perspective. In fact, Solomon in the Bible who was the richest man of his time, wisest man too. Some people would believe dollar for dollar the richest man of all time. He said this in Ecclesiastes 6 and 9. He said, enjoy, say it out loud with me, enjoy what you have. Seriously? Yes, enjoy what you have rather than desiring what you don't have. Hey man, we're having some real talk today. I get it. And we're talking about contentment. You want to have a continual party in your life? You want to enjoy life, to enjoy what God has given you? Instead of longing for what you don't have, be thankful for what God has given you instead of looking at someone else's post on Instagram and comparing yourself, oh, I wish I had their life. They're longing for your life in ways you don't even know about probably as well. Anyways, enjoy what you have rather than longing for what you do not have. Now, let's make this real practical. The next time you're tempted to say, I hate my stupid car, instead, I thank God that I have a car that runs and gets me to work, that puts me, you and me, in the top 5% or so of the wealthiest people in the world. I thank God that I have a car and I don't have to walk 30 miles to work. I wish I had a better house. No, I can reframe that. God, I thank you that I've got a roof over my head with indoor plumbing that works and heat that works, right? Go and see how half the world does not have what you have, friends. It's a significant blessing from God, and we're so thankful that we have it. Oh, my life is so crazy. I'm so busy. Like, life is so crazy. I'm so busy. How you doing? I'm busy. How you doing? I'm so busy. And you wear like a badge of honor. My life be like so crazy. First off, you might know how we say it around here already. If the devil can't make you bad, friends, he just makes you busy. So what are you doing? Rendering you unproductive for the kingdom of heaven. I'm so busy. Instead, God, I'm so thankful that I've got a family and children that are involved in activities and healthy and friends and a community to contribute to. God, I thank you that I've got things to do and places to be and people to bless. I thank God that I've got a significant life that keeps me active, doing the significant things to be a blessing to other people. Reframe it. Cultivate gratitude in your life, friends. Some even bring their discontentment and their discontented perspective into church and into family. But hear it like this. And, oh, the music's so loud and the people are too young and church is getting too big. And I thank God that there are young people excited about being in the house of God when churches are struggling to reach the next generation. And our front rows are beginning to fill with young adults with passion and fire for the things of the kingdom of God. Listen, as long as there's one lost person out there, our church is never, ever going to be too big. And as long as I have breath in my lungs, friends, I will never be quiet in my worship. I thank God that people are coming to know Christ, learning to worship Him with fire and passion in them. I'm not going to bow to the demonic curses of envy and comparison because God is always good and He's been better to me than anything I could ever imagine. When my life is good, I thank God for His blessings. When my life is not what I would want it to be, I thank God for His goodness, that He's working in all things to bring about good to those who love Him and are called according to His purpose. Therefore, we will kill and crush comparison because it's earthly, unspiritual, and demonic. We will celebrate the blessings of others and rejoice with those who rejoice. And we will cultivate gratitude, worshiping our God because He's worthy of our praise. Because we have learned the secret of being content, whether living in plenty or living in want. And the secret is this: I can do all things through Jesus Christ who gives me strength. And because He is all I need, I will pursue Him with all my heart. And in Him, I will find true joy and true contentment because He is life and He truly satisfies. God, I thank you. Pray with me, friends. Father, I pray that your Holy Spirit would seal this message in our hearts today, that we would be a church full of people longing to know you, to seek you intimately and to pursue your presence, to find joy and strength and contentment in you, Jesus Christ, that we would be forever changed because we've been in your presence. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Hey, thanks for being online with me today. God bless you. See you soon.